I have my Bible open to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13. Previously in our study of 1 Peter here, he has established who we are as Christians. As I mentioned some time back, that we are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. We are called on to be holy people. Holy means that we are set apart, and as soon as you become a believer in Jesus Christ, you are acknowledged as that holy, set apart, and then we are to live our lives as a reflection of that. And so given these facts, now, Peter makes a transition, if you will. Again, he's acknowledged who we are, and now, much like Paul writes, he now moves from the theological to the practical. As a holy nation, as a royal priesthood, as a holy people, why and how should we live our lives? How are we to reflect that status, that place, being a holy nation, a royal priesthood? Here in the second half of chapter 2, Peter begins that discussion. Hear the Lord's word. Be subject, for the Lord's sake, to every human institution, whether it be to the emperor as supreme, or to governors as sent by him to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. Live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. Honor everyone, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the emperor. Servants, be subject to your masters with all respect, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the unjust. For this is a gracious thing when, mindful of God, one endures sorrows while suffering unjustly. For what credit is it if, when you sin and are beaten for it, you endure? But if when you do good and suffer for it, you endure, this is a gracious thing in the sight of God. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you might follow in his steps. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed, for you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. And I do pray the Lord would add his blessing to the reading of his word. Verse 13, be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be emperor as supreme or to governors. In Daniel chapter 2, we read this. Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, to whom belong wisdom and might. He changes times and seasons. He removes kings and sets up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. Then in Proverbs, something very similar. By me, kings reign, and rulers decree what is just. So here we have in Peter, in Daniel, and also the writer of the Proverbs, this teaching that we are to be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, because it is God who has set these institutions into place. And so by honoring the institution, we are honoring God. Turn with me to Romans chapter 13, if you would please. While this is a challenging teaching, especially as we look out across our world and we say, if we follow this teaching, that we are to be in submission, and we see rulers in our own country and around the world who are anything but those you would like to follow. Please notice that you will not hear a qualifier in any of these texts whatsoever. We are simply told to be in submission. Romans chapter 13 takes it even further. Verse 1, chapter 13 of Romans, let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment. For rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Would you have no fear of one who is in authority? Then do what is good, and you will receive his approval. For he is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid. For he does not bear the sword in vain, for he is the servant of God, an avenger, who carries out God's wrath on the wrongdoer. Therefore one must be in subjection, not only to avoid God's wrath, but also for the sake of conscience. For because of this, also pay taxes, for the authorities are ministers of God, attending to this very thing. Pay to all what is owed to them, taxes to whom taxes are owed, revenue to whom revenue is owed, respect to whom respect is owed, honor to whom honor is owed. Be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution. Why give submission to earthly authority? Again, as I went through this text, you know, I hear this Lord and I say, yes, as your servant, I am subjected to you. But then I look out across the land and I see our rulers, and I am to be in subjection to them as well. That just doesn't quite fit. However, as I said, there's not a qualifier here. So why give submission to an earthly authority? Why give submission to an earthly authority that may or may not be Christian? Romans 13:1 tells us very clearly, let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. And I'm probably not the only one to find this challenging. However, God has set ruling authorities over us. And just as it says here, also in Peter, also in Daniel, also in the Proverbs, these rulers have been set in place by God himself. And they have been set in place to promote the good. They have been set in place to restrain evil. They have been set in place to pull together the conduct of life here in this created order. We will give an account of how we subject ourselves to them. They will give an account to how they lead. As I did earlier in the pastoral prayer, I pray for godly men and women to lead us, men and women who are Christian. But as you know as well as I, the trend is moving farther and farther away. Jeff was just telling me that now, as he is a commissioner, will not be allowed to pray as they open the council meetings. And so we pray that that might be resolved so that they could. The Westminster Confession of Faith, chapter 23, says, God, the Supreme Lord and King of all the world, has ordained civil magistrates to be under him over the people for his own glory and the public good. Difficult, yes, to understand. Challenging to accept. But it's true nonetheless. We are to be civil people. We are to be people who follow the laws of our land. We are to be people who pay our taxes, as it says here. We are to be good citizens, because it is God who has set up the ruling authorities in the nations, etc., etc., that we find here. But in our text, if you go now, we'll go back with me to Peter. In our text, Peter takes it a bit further. Peter takes it a bit further than simply submitting. Look with me at verse 18 of chapter 2 of 1 Peter. Servants, be subject to your masters with all respect, not only to do good and gentle, but also to the unjust. Okay, there. We are to be subjected, submission to the unjust. For this is a gracious thing when God, when mindful of God, one endures sorrows while suffering unjustly. For what credit is it if when you sin and are beaten for it, you endure? Meaning, if you break the law, if you sin, you should be punished. And that shall not be challenging to you. But this next one. But if when you do good and suffer for it, you endure, this is a gracious thing in the sight of God. For to this you have been called. So please hear clearly. We are to be in submission to the ruling authorities of this land because they were set in place by God. Even to those that are unjust. And we are to submit to the point of mistreatment. And endure it. So that we might show forth the grace and the love and mercy that Jesus Christ showed us. Because this is the why. The how is the submission. But why are we to do this? Because Jesus Christ himself did. Jesus Christ himself did. Proverbs 25, which was repeated in Romans 12, that I will get to here just in a second. It says, if your enemy is hungry, give him bread. If he is thirsty, give him water. For you will heap burning coals on his head, and the Lord will reward you. See, here is the instrument of grace and mercy toward that one that is mistreating you, that enemy that is that reviles you. To respond to him in anger, to respond to her in the same manner, is no different than the pagans. But when we respond by enduring the remarks, the mistreatment, the suffering, our brother Andrew Brunson, right now, a missionary in Turkey, is sitting in prison. Why? Because he's a Christian. And he will endure it. And why have we been called to this level of submission? As I said, it is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, you know the story well, as he stood before Pilate. What did he say? Nothing. As he took the scourging and the beatings from the soldiers, what did he say? Nothing. He accepted the mistreatment because he knew in the end that God would be glorified. And those, as is given here, the one who judges justly, that will be the vengeance against those who treated others badly. Folks, this is sanctification. In sanctification, are we not desiring to grow and to be more like Christ? So when we lash out at someone who's made us angry, when we lash out at someone who has mistreated us, that's not Christ-like. That's the pagan world. But how easy is it to not? Now, let's be clear. Let's be clear, because there's this turmoil that will arise for some. If I stayed at this text and this text alone, I would be teaching a pacifist, no conflict, no war philosophy. That is not what the Holy Scriptures teach. And please learn and understand how to differentiate between the teaching to persons and the teaching to civil authorities. Here in 1 Peter, he is talking to the church, to the person. And so he is saying that we are to withstand the mistreatment. We are to withstand the unfair acts. But remember what I read in Romans chapter 13? In Romans chapter 13, individuals like Tim Hager are given a weapon. And they're given that weapon to preserve the peace. And sometimes the peace, to be preserved, must be removed. That's the civil authority's position, not yours. Jesus Christ, the Sermon on the Mount, is the best response for the person, but also we hold it in comparison to Romans chapter 13. What did Jesus teach in the Sermon on the Mount? Repeatedly, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. But I say to you, do not resist the one who is evil, but if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also." This is the person. Also in the Sermon on the Mount, he says, "But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." That's the person. Peter is saying, you're a holy person. You're set apart. You're a part of a royal priesthood. You're a part of a holy nation. Act like it. We are to endure the sinfulness, the mistreatment, the unfair acts, the inappropriate words, and not lash out or respond in anything other than the way Christ did. But again, civil authorities, individuals like Mr. Hager, our military, etc., their purpose is to act biblically, I pray, on behalf of God to promote the peace, but to restrain the evil as well. Verse 16 of chapter 2. Go with me there, please, if you have your Bibles. This is the crux of the teaching. 1 Peter 2:16. Live as people who are free, but not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as the servants of God. Verse 17. Fear God. Honor the emperor. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the emperor. Here in summation, we are to give honor to everyone. We are to love the brotherhood. There should be such a love between us as brothers and sisters in Christ. But then it moves outside to fear God and to honor the emperor. If you disagree with the latest election and say he is not your president, you're in sin. It's that simple. Because honor is given to that position, not because of the person, but because that's a place God has put in place. Is this challenging? Yes. Is it true? Yes. Honor everyone, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the emperor. And one day, God will receive all of the glory. Let us pray together. Father, as I've said time and again here, this is challenging because we look out upon our world and see it sinful. We look out across the world at its leaders and see sinful. We have good leaders. We have good men and women who teach our classes and that we work for, etc., etc. Those are the easy ones to follow. The Lord, here it says that we are to follow even those who are unjust. Not into sin, but to honor them because of position. Lord, help us be in that way of surrender. In Jesus' holy name, amen. Amen.